Good afternoon on this gorgeous Saturday, April 10th, 2021. This is the St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com, and I'm live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in the heart of the world champion Tampa Bay Bucks. Of course, our American League champion Tampa Bay Rays, and they raised the banners in Tropicana yesterday in the opening day of home season. We've only got 155 games to go, but I'm live and right in the middle. Got a 110 first pitch today against the Yankees again. Nice victory to start the home stretch and to celebrate last year's American League champions and, of course, the appearance in the World Series. We're also home to the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. Doesn't get any better than being in Tampa, and I've run across a lot of people that are here to visit and are certainly seeing the energy. And I'll tell you what, energy, I say this each and every week on the St. Pete Sports Connection. Down here at St. Petersburg, we got 13th and Central. I was here yesterday helping out, and it was jam-packed for the opener. And the electricity and the passion and the fan base from both gangs, Yankees, plenty of Yankee fans, I assure you, and Rays. But it was just an absolute breath of fresh air and a blast relative to where we were a year ago. So thank God each and every day that we're getting back to some normalcy. Only 9,000 strong can be in the stands right now. But if we keep beating down on this COVID, I think we'll get to full capacity by the end of the season. As I mentioned, each and every Saturday I'm here from 12:15 to 2 o'clock, and we got a jam-packed show. We're going to talk Masters. Sorry, but this is my favorite week of the year. I have probably logged 25 to 30 hours between Golf Channel and ESPN right now. Just watching from tee to green, I guess you could call it, coverage of it. I'm just absolutely, it was an annual right with my son Michael, the golfer. And so I will be doing that today as far as in channel surfing as I watch the Rays beat the Yankees again. And as I mentioned, we'll talk a little bit on the tee. Plenty of fans heading to the – I'm right by the tunnel. So I can see the Rays and the Yankee fans going by. I'm going to love this new perch that we set up. It's a lot more convenient. I can still see everybody on Central. I can watch I'm looking at about 18 screens right now, and I'm right across from the dog park for entertainment in case you want some play-by-play of dogs frolicking down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Okay, also, I want to tell a couple of stories. Last week, of course, was the Valero Texas Open, and Jordan Spieth was the winner. And there's a great possibility. He's two off the pace. I'll go over that leaderboard right now. Justin Rose, 7-under, had an incredible run on Thursday. Yesterday, he shot even par and held on to the – he slept on the lead, which is exceptional. Will Zalatoris, a great story in himself. He's one off the pace. Brian Harman, Mark Leishman. Looming right there, Jordan Spieth at 5-under. Justin Thomas, 4-under. Tony Finau. Siwoo Kim. Cameron Champ. Great story if you're a golf fan. Look up Cameron Champ. Hideki Matsuyama. Now, here's the reality of Augusta. These are some of the notables that didn't make the cut. Sergio Garcia, who was hot coming in. Brooks Koepka. And, of course, former FSU, great. He is battling an injury, but didn't make the cut. Dustin Johnson, November, 5 months ago, was the winner convincingly, 20-under, missed the cut. Rory McIlroy missed the cut. Augusta has not eased up on anyone. And I can assure you right now that the reality of this next 2 days is going to be phenomenal when we talk about watching it without a Tiger Woodless, as they say, a Tiger Woodless Augusta still has plenty of excitement. CBS will be airing from 3 to 7 today, and then tomorrow extended coverage 2 to 7. But you can get everything on the Golf Channel, and as I mentioned, great time to watch golf. I was fortunate enough to meet some of the greats back in Des Moines when we did the Champions events. We had the Allianz, the Principal Charity Classic. And my son also was alongside me. He worked for TaylorMade and worked for Callaway. But, as I mentioned before on this show, met Arnold Palmer on several occasions, Gary Player, and Gary Player, of course, with Jack Nicklaus and Lee Elder. They were the ceremonial starters for this 85th Masters. Craig Stadler, the Walrus, a lot of people don't realize that he won a green jacket. Ben Crenshaw, the gentleman, as they call him. Marco Mir, Tiger Woods' very good friend and neighbor. Freddie Couples. Larry Mize, there's a name that people don't, you know, they're not household names, but they've got the green jacket. Tom Watson, Sandy Lyle, Ian Woosman. And I tell you what, just those encounters and the Hall of Fame people, I'm a hack. But it got me to respect the game of golf, and I absolutely love this time of year, as I mentioned, and I'm glad it's back. In fact, next year for my 65th, I'm going to go up and go to the par three. If you can't afford, and that's not a slight to anybody, the Badgers are astronomical. But if you can't afford to get a badge, the reality is you can go to the par three, and it's an absolute great time to see some of the greats in golf. Today on the show, it's going to be kind of a youth movement. In fact, if you're listening right now, we're doing a little hit and miss on the streaming capability in this new location. I think it might be the crowd noise. But anyway, things will quiet down, and we'll have a great hour and a half of conversation. I've got two young guys coming. They were going to be with me last week, and Travis Winans and Jake Irwin. And we're going to talk a little bit of fitness for all ages. They're professionals, and they're going to show up. And then I've got another young man that very, very impressive resume, Cameron Wembley. And I'm looking forward to him coming on about 1 o'clock. We'll be talking FSU, his career in the NFL. He did a superb job there. And he's an entrepreneur, so we can talk a little businessman to businessman. I've certainly taken my swings in that world and hit and miss, but yeah, certainly looking forward to the conversation. And I said youth movement. Jake Irwin and Travis Winans will join me first, and then I'll talk to from about 1 till 2. We'll talk to Cameron Wembley. Again, that leaderboard for the Masters on the tee segment. By the way, we're going to launch on the tee in May, and hopefully right down the street there's a new location called the Par Bar, and it's miniature golf along with beverages, and it's outdoors, and it's a heck of a concept. I mean, I've always thought that I wanted to own a miniature golf, but having a bar, the Par Bar, is going to be superb, and that's where we'll be perched, and we'll give you plenty of information on that as we get closer to that agreement with them. Okay, I got a great story, especially since the Yankees are in town. Bernie Williams, he was an all-star 7 times, and with that, those great Yankees in the late 90s and early 2000s, and I was fortunate that I had a friend from Iowa, Jeff Mangold. He was the personal trainer for the Yankees, and I grew up a Yankees fan. You know, I lean towards the Rays now, because who doesn't like a David versus Goliath story, and that certainly has been one. And you know, they had their number last year, the Rays, and it looks like they're starting out on the same plane. So we'll see. It's an interesting team that the Rays are fielding this year. Doesn't have the depth of arms that took them to the World Series last year. But if anything, yesterday was any indication, their slow start, just like last year, had a slow start, and they ended up going 40-20 in that season, in that shortened season. So early games. Like I said, there's 155 left. But back to my Bernie Williams story. I live down in Sunset Beach, probably about 600-700 yards from the Gulf. Well, there's also a neighborhood tavern called Katiki. Great spot. And trying to make certain. There we go. Bernie Williams, Monday night, he's an accomplished jazz guitarist, R&B, classical, and he was playing with Sarasota Slim and probably about 5 guys sitting in with him. I got wind of it from a friend of mine that texted me asking if I was over. And I live about half a block from Katiki. So I strolled over there. Well, no, actually practically sprinted over there. And there was hardly any, I mean, it was a nice crowd, but not like normal. And I was very fortunate that I was probably 5 feet from Bernie, watched him play for 45 minutes. It was absolutely a highlight of all the people that I've seen, because the diversity of watching him play down here, spring training, Yankee Stadium, being, you know, a lifelong Yankee fan, and he was always a class act. But the bottom line is, I was like a little kid. I walked up to him. We had conversation at the end, and he was very, very gracious. I said, I don't want to bother you. I had a common friend named Jeff Mangold, and he said, Manny. And he said, I love Jeff Mangold. Tell him hello. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, anytime you're in town, whether you're playing at the Capitol, he's played at Mahaffey. And here he was in this little neighborhood tiki bar, which is a cool place. They have live music each and every day down there. But that was a highlight for this old man. So that's my Bernie Williams story. And let's go over the standings in the MLB right now. And like I said, it's early. The Baltimore Orioles, who, you know, were a menace to the Rays, they're on top of the Eastern Division. Boston right behind them. Yankees and Rays and Blue Jays all one game behind. Central Division, the two teams you'd expect. Minnesota on top, game and a half over the White Sox. A lot of people have the White Sox making it to the World Series. And then in the West, you've got the two teams you'd expect again. You got Houston and Los Angeles Angels. And they'll both those teams will be down here at Tropicana Field at some time this season. Just go to Rays and get their schedule. In the NL East, the Philadelphia Phillies, of course, they're up in Clearwater for their spring training. They're on top of the East over the Mets. Actually, they got the fastest start along with Cincinnati in the bigs at 5-1. And you got the Mets, Atlanta. It's early. All these that National League East is going to be brutal. You've got the Mets are loaded. Atlanta has an incredible arms this year. In fact, they've got Charlie Morton, unfortunately. The Central Division, the Cincinnati Reds are off to a hot start. My Cubs are a game and a half behind, then St. Louis. And then in the West, of course, the Dodgers, the world champion Dodgers with the greatest pitching staff that money can buy, and the Padres right behind them. And the Padres also are loaded up with, of course, young Snell that left us after an incredible year and, of course, after a Cy Young Award. And as I mentioned, I'm down here, St. Pete Sports Connection on Radio StPete.com, Sunshine 96.7, of course, our sister FM station. And I'll tell you, I got another great story. Make sure you listen to 96.7 FM. It's the Bay's local music leader, over 400 local artists, and Jay Kolb's just doing a superb job. Since we took over the FCC license just about a month ago, the exposure for the show and for the station and the different platforms of and venues and type of locations that he's promoting live music is phenomenal. And it's a great listen. It's Sunshine 96.7 FM. But I went to a place called the Disc Exchange. It's on 67th and Central for us old dudes and even the young people now. Vinyl is the direction everybody's going. Well, I wanted CDs, actually. I've got a 2006 convertible, and you know, I don't have the capability of Spotify and all the things I have at home, so I wanted some CDs. I walk in this place, it's like heaven for old dudes. Well, even youngsters, my kids were in town from Colorado, and they're vinyl nuts. This place, 6712 Central, Nick Sirachi's the owner. But we started talking music, and then he said, well, what kind of music do you play on your show? I said, well, I'm a sports show, man. I said, there's no music on my show. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, I do a show each and every Saturday live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill from 12:15 to 2 o'clock. And he said, oh, wow, that is cool. He said, what I'd like to do is come down sometime and we'll talk baseball as well as music. And I said, really? I said, you can talk baseball? He started giving me a who's who of managers that have come through the Rays that this is classic, that have come through the Rays that are regulars in the disc exchange. And then he's basically given me their statistics and their performances when they're in the bigs, not just managers. But Rocco Bedelli, Gabe Kapler, two guys that were on the Rays bench and now have their own clubs. Phil Oden, speaking of the Yankees, he's the PA voice of the Yankees. He is a friend of Nick's, and he also is a regular. And then it even got stranger. I said, yeah. I said, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Mark Ferguson is the proprietor. He said, oh, I know Ferg. I live in his neighborhood. And Mark, I went to high school with him. He wouldn't have known me, he said, kind of sheepishly. He said, he was the homecoming king, and he said he had a gal on each arm as he was walking down the halls of Lakewood High School. And he said, he reminded me of Tom Selleck. I thought I was going to die. So I had to share that with Mark, of course. And then he said their homecoming queen, actually, she married Rick Barry, the NBA great. And so that's quite a tandem there they had at Lakewood High School. Mark Ferguson, of course, successful for 28 years with the most popular sports bar in the greater Tampa Bay area, St. Pete area. And then Tom Selleck, I guess. And then she marries Rick Barry, arguably one of the greatest players to ever play the game, the Golden State Warriors in the day. And, of course, his sons were phenomenal as well in the Barry family. Let's thank a couple of other people and do a couple more promos. As I mentioned, I got a couple of young guys. They're probably trying to find a parking spot right now because they are a precious commodity right before the first pitch, which will be in 40 minutes. If you like a casual conversation podcast, I suggest, and this young man and I have known each other since he was just a pup, In the Crowd podcast, behind-the-scenes conversation with Tyler Vanderloo. Tyler, he got the Rolodex basically from his dad, Raz, and his uncle, Jeff. But that's how the world operates. And he's done a superb job. JB List, of course, great coverage of the March Madness. I'm going to talk about that plight, too. And Super Bowl champion Brad Johnson, of course, former Tampa Bay Buck. And he's a great interview. He's had him. Just to name a few, you can catch him on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's In the Crowd. And that's my young buddy Tyler Vanderloo up in Northwest Iowa. Also, keep in mind, in fact, this would be a perfect day. Get out and enjoy Tampa Bay Downs. Radio St. Pete is the official radio station of Tampa. There goes my Yankee buddies. Have fun. Great family day. Looks like a four-generation Yankee family walking over to the drop for the first time. So those are the special things that sports brings together, family fun. And I remember all the moments I had at spring training, taking the boys to the Cubs and taking the boys to the Yankees games and Rays games. And we were just very fortunate back in that day. But anyway, Tampa Bay Downs, RadioSaintPete.com is the official radio station of Tampa Bay Downs. And as I mentioned, I went out the beginning of the year. I want to get out there before the season ends, and had a wonderful time. And I'm not a big gambler, but you know, $10. I walked away with a little cash in my pocket, bought a few beverages, and I tell you what, it's worth the afternoon. Well, the Derby, the Run for the Roses, is just less than a month away, and so we'll talk horse racing as we get closer. We'll talk about it through the entire Triple Crown. And Bob Bauer will join me, and he's our house expert, and we'll have him give you some tips right before the Triple Crown races and, of course, the Kentucky Derby, less than a month away. I was fortunate when I went to school in Western Kentucky to head up the road there. Didn't appreciate it, though, at 18 years of age, and probably had 1,800 beers, and was on the infield. I couldn't tell you to this day who the winning horse was, but I'll tell you what, they throw a party in Louisville if you ever get a chance to go to the Kentucky Derby. Derby week is, oh my word, it's off the charts, and Louisville's in its splendor, and its classic Old South history and mint juleps and the hats, and it's really cool. Hey, by the way, if you have, like the story I just gave you, if you got Bernie Williams' story or something like you'd like to share, come on down to Ferg's any Saturday, and I'll throw you on the air from 12:15 to 2. You can get a hold of me, mrickardonthet@gmail.com. That's mrickardonthet@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on our Facebook page, St. Pete Sports Connection. Share a story, or if you've got an event, you know, a charity event that you want to come down and have us promote and support, come on down and we'll take care of you. I'd like to promote local youth teams, high school teams that are looking for, you know, an opportunity to promote what they're doing on the air. And like I said, sorry, I had a little bit of a technical glitch there. Anyway, I'm going to mention one other opportunity that I think you need to take advantage of, and it's a testimonial from me. An amazing massage therapy I was introduced to, BAT therapy. BAT stands for Body Armor Transitional Massage Therapy. Dan Nicola, he's not a kid, but he acts like a kid because he's so passionate about this. He's the genius behind this chronic pain relief method, and I've been fortunate. I've had three of his BAT therapy massages, and I've had a big difference. I have arthritis throughout my body and was experiencing a lot of pain. So each Wednesday, I have gone over there for a half an hour. I'm going to have him on the show to discuss the science behind it all, and it is amazing. The thing that really got me involved was I took my sister Julie. She was visiting from Iowa. She has serious neurological pain, has been treated with steroids, meds. Nothing had relieved her. And then my girlfriend suggested, Terry, she works there at the spa. She said, you should give Dan a shot. So we sent her over there, and the 1 hour brought her relief that none of the experts at the University of Iowa hospitals could address, steroids, meds. And she wept. She came out of there with so much joy. It was unbelievable. And like I said, it's BAT therapy. The phone number is 727-360-4300, and it's a Paradise Spa. It's a full-spectrum day spa. It's 107th Avenue in Treasure Island over by me. And you can go to his website, battherapy.com. And as I said, I go every Wednesday. I'll give you updates. And when I leave there, I'm just, like, exhausted. It's phenomenal. And that's Paradise Spa and BAT Therapy. And then little announcement today, which I'm excited about. The St. Pete Sports Connection and Sunshine 96.7 Radio St. Pete, we're the official radio partner of the Tampa Bay Titans, the professional basketball team. The home opener is April 23rd. All home games are available are played at Bishop McLaughlin over in Tampa, and they play in, it's called the Basketball League. There's 45 teams across America. You can catch the stream through Sportscaster on TampaBayTitans.com. And got a lovely lady in front of me right now, so my attention span's not good right now. Anyway, that's the Tampa Bay Titans, our professional basketball team, and we are the official radio partner. We're actually going to do a game over there for them. They've got a play-by-play guy, and I will just go ahead and be the person that gives color analyst. I'll do my best, but tell you what, if you go online, and they've got plenty of video. In fact, I'm in a little video on St. Pete Sports Connection Facebook. These guys are the real deal. These are professional basketball players, and you think about it, a lot of people minimize minor league sports. Well, the opportunity to play is minimal. Look at the numbers on the basketball team. You got 12 pros. You've got Australia. You've got Europe. You've got D-League. You got pockets of minor league all over the country. But you got a lot of passionate, great athletes that still want to play the game. And if you watch these cats, I did the other day, and I was stunned. Basil Harfouch, a good friend of mine, he is a new young friend. He is the owner and player, and that kid has got game. I'm telling you right now, it's very, very impressive. I'm going to take a little break, and we're going to log on and come back on. We'll try to reconnect with the Internet as we're having some issues right now. Welcome back to the St. Pete Sports Connection. Finally got my youth movement here. As Jake Irwin and Travis Winans, you know, fellas, that was just a dress rehearsal last week. I wanted to see how conversational you were. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. But I appreciate you coming back down. And those scooters are pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
O-N.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, all right. Now I can read.
Maybe I'll just have to throw on your oldest client.
Yeah.
You can handle the O-N, can't you, young lady?
I thought you were weren't prepared last week, not prepared this week.
Hey, come on. Well, anything you throw at me, I deserve. Trust me. It was a rough freaking weekend. The old me would have been freaking out. Now I'm old. I don't like that heart rate going up too much. And like, yeah, happened for a reason.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to get to know you guys, and very, very impressed. So let's talk a little bit about IM Fitness. And 8 years, is that right?
Actually, this Sunday is coming up on 7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
Well, I'm projecting the future because you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. Thank you. Already are.
All right. So tell a little bit about the history and how you two got connected.
So I opened up IM Fitness back in 2015. I was training down at a few other locations, and I decided just to go off on my own. I just wanted to really show that personal training is still alive and one of the most important things someone can do for themselves. I feel like nowadays everything is so personalized towards the individual that it shouldn't be any different with personal training. So at IM Fitness, we really focus on personal training and small group classes because, I mean, you can get in shape, but you'll never truly get to your goals unless you're focusing on your own personal goals. So that's kind of like our emphasis every single day, no matter what we do, is just really taking care of our clients and getting them to their individual goals.
So a dinosaur like me walks in, and you do an analysis of, you know, I got a lot of broken parts. And so you do an analysis of what I can and can't do, give you, you know, what I want to try to achieve, and then you guys basically customize a program for me?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll come in for an assessment. We'll go over through a battery of tests, see how you move, how you operate, and then from there.
Slow.
Slow, yeah, nothing wrong with that. We have all different types of clients, young, old, athletes, people who just want to work for longevity. But you come in for an assessment, we go over the assessment, and then from there with your trainer, you sit down and you set up a game plan. And then from there, we're with you inside and outside the gym. So even when you leave, we don't forget about you. We always stay on top of everything, and we make sure that you're getting to your goals, and we're available 24/7 no matter what for each of our clients.
All right, so let me ask you this. You guys designed a program for the old dinosaur.
Yep.
And I'm in your gym, but what if I, you know, I'm having a busy week. Do you give me some kind of guidance when I go home on my little beach bungalow? Because I got my own little weird workout deal, perfect push-ups and all this stuff, you know. So you take that and it can extend it. So if I'm traveling or I'm home, you know, I don't miss a workout, essentially, is the bottom line.
100%. And even with COVID, with the whole shutdown, that kind of launched our business even farther because we proved to our clients that we make no excuses. We're all about accountability. And accountability is the key because not everybody has discipline. Not everybody wants to work out. So what we do is we give that to them.
Until mortality looks you right in the eyes when you be my age. I'm in the fourth quarter.
Hey, age is just a number, just a mentality, all right?
That's what his mom, Brandy, told me.
That's right.
Quit bringing up age.
She's
okay,
a smart
all right.
Woman.
Oh, yeah, she's adamant about that, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Age is just a number.
Yeah. No excuses there. Yeah, so we literally make no excuses. So no matter what, we customize a program in and outside of the gym. So say you're going to go and you're gone for a month, we will literally write you a program make videos, and now we can even Zoom. So if you don't even want to miss your session, we will Zoom and take care of you the entire time.
This is astonishing news-breaking information for my children. I figured out Zoom on my own.
Hopefully you didn't have any
that
complications.
That is tough, man. Yeah. Z-O, hit this button and rock and roll.
With all your clothes on, hopefully.
Come on, dude. I wouldn't want to nauseate anybody like that. Unlike some people, as all the world knows past year.
A lot of mistakes on that Zoom.
Yeah, thanks. A lot of great commercials have come out of that, though. Guy walks out in his whitey-tighties. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. A lot worse ones than that, but we won't bring that up on the air.
So let's go over your personal background, and then we'll turn it over to the Gentle Giant.
So I was in the Marine Corps from 2006 to 2010.
God bless you. I respect anybody that served our country.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And in the Marine Corps, I was always working out, always, no matter what.
You didn't have any option.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. Some people take it a little farther than the others, but when we were on deployment, I was on a Marine Expeditionary Unit, and we had a gym on ship. So all of my buddies were like, let's go work out, let's go work out. So I actually found my calling. I always knew I loved working out, but I actually found my calling. And listen, I did not have the education that I do now, but I had the drive and the discipline to, even if we worked 20-hour days, I'd still find time to get into the gym and get a quick workout in, no matter if it was 20 minutes, an hour, whatever I could get in. And I made sure all my buddies, my teammates, stayed on top of their game so that we weren't weak when we went out into the field doing our job, making sure we were always on top of it. Then I get out at 2010. I worked in a gym. I actually started out in Lifestyle Family Fitness. I worked the front desk. And then from there, just...
You don't look like a front desk dude.
Yeah, I always say I was the front...
No offense. Yeah. She looks like a front desk person. I'd walk in and say, wait a minute. This is I didn't come to Sons of Anarchy to work out, did I? I mean, I'm out. See ya.
No, they loved it because I was always there. 4:30 in the morning, no excuses.
Okay,
open it up.
Not many people see you then.
They were ready to go. Well, yeah, fair enough.
I'm just kidding you, man. All right, were you a jock in high school?
I actually never played sports. I worked my entire life. I played a little bit of sports when I was younger, but I was always just grinding. Just working, then couldn't wait to get out of my hometown and then just shot straight over to the Marine Corps.
So the Marines is where you got into the fitness element of your life, and obviously you're going to be doing the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
What are the goals for Iron Fitness?
So the goals for Iron Fitness, my whole thing was keeping it small and intimate. I'm not looking to franchise. I'm just looking to make it the best gym or personal training studio I can for how we operate. So bringing great trainers in there, not just having trainers coming in who are going to be wishy-washy and cycle through, but more trainers who are dedicated into actually getting their clients to their goals, and it's their passion. So if I can just keep Iron Fitness going and take care of each individual client and everybody's satisfied and getting to their goals, then that's what we want to do. We want to be like a mecca, even if it's just one, just a mecca of fitness, and just grow as much as we can and take care of as many people as we can.
All right, let's let this
big man.
Big man. Big man with a kind heart. I love seeing all the pictures of you and your daughter. I know who the boss of that house is. Yeah, well, no, you're number three.
Yeah, I'm number three.
Yeah, that's just the way it works, dude. We should have got your lovely bride and the daughter down. It's a little tough to get to this place today since there's a 1:10 first pitch.
Oh, you never get Olivia. That's my daughter. You never get her off the microphone. We would just leave and let us know when you could want us to pick her up.
I'm a great baby. No, you don't say babysit. I'm a great interactor with young kids because I got about the same IQ as, or they got a higher IQ, but I'm on the same wavelength.
Well, she gets along more with adults than kids anyway, so that works out.
And she's a gym rat, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right. Oh, I know. Before we go any further, I'm a hack. I'm a horrible golfer. I'm sure you're.
I'm the same. I'm a horrible golfer.
Yeah, right. You're a great athlete, so don't play me.
Both of us are actually horrible golfers.
Do you enjoy the game?
Well, if I'm hitting one good shot out of the day,
But you can't take it too damn serious. DeChambeau doesn't have anything on you, dude. Hey, if that bulked up dude can putt softly and chip, you can figure it out.
Well, let's
you
put it.
Touch your basketball player.
Well, baseball was not my sport growing up, so that you know that usually translates to golf pretty well. So
inside out swing.
I sucked at both of them, so.
Well, you certainly didn't suck at hoops, and you don't certainly suck at what you're doing now.
No.
But have you been watching the Masters at all?
I have not. I usually check
in
on the
final. Rat's ass,
well, no, I'll be honest. I'm a big Tiger fan, so I usually check in to see
well,
if
Tiger
has. And
he's not
playing. I know. He's recovering from his crash.
I just discussed that with him. I'm a huge Tiger fan.
But I'm starting to be a DeChambeau because, you know, he's a big guy with a long drive. So I cheer for those kind of guys.
He's got some issues upstairs, though,
for
I think.
Sure. I know nothing about him personally. I've just seen him drive the ball.
He's a unique cat. Oh, boy. Anyway, I just wanted to see if you guys were wasting any of your life. I think I've logged 25 hours of the Golf Channel and ESPN. And I started doing that when I had my golf radio show, and my son was a collegiate golfer. And now I'm a kook. I can't hit what the damn. I'm horrible. I suck. I didn't start playing until I was in my 40s. I was always boxing mentality. Now I'm just riveted. So I wonder why my back has been killing me. I've been sitting on my old ass for 26 hours this week that I normally don't log in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so enough
a big
of
part.
That. Yeah, enough of that. So talk about how you two met each other, and we'll go from there.
So Jake actually called me. We got a little static. Am I okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's me, brother.
Oh, okay. Jake actually called me, I want to say, I don't know, 2 or 3 years before – or maybe 4 years, before he, whenever he was starting to open up IM Fitness, he had heard of me, I had heard of him, and I had just gotten a promotion. I was at Gold's Gym, now Suncoast right now, at the time, and I had just gotten a promotion to personal training manager, which was a nice salary job. So he actually called me the day after that promotion and was telling me about his, you know, IM Fitness and, you know, what he was looking to do. And I was like, man, if you had called last week, I would be on board with you, but I just got this huge promotion. So, you know, we said our, you know, like, you know, thanks for calling. We really appreciate the offer. You know, hope to see you. You know, he would come every now and then just to kind of work out a goal, just kind of, you know, get away from his own gym, you know, come in. And basically, so that's pretty much the first time I met him was kind of seeing him in the gym.
He wasn't trying to get away from his own gym. He was looking at their weaknesses and figuring out how he was going to open his own business and strengthen it by their weaknesses.
That's probably exactly what he was doing.
I would have done.
I didn't know if it was like, you know, shopping around different athletes and, you know, illegal poaching, you know. I didn't want to say that.
That's classic.
But, yeah, so a mutual friend of ours, John Gentile, he's actually with the Colorado Rockies Strength and Conditioning Organization now. He comes back and forth to work out, to train at the gym in his off season. He actually started training over at Jake's, you know, part-time, along with working at Gold's where he and I had met. And he started telling me about him and the great opportunities. And this is probably a year or two after I'd been personal training manager and, you know, just kind of realized wasn't really going where I wanted it to go. And, you know, my opportunities were very limited there, even as a PT manager. Basically, I, you know, kind of got introduced to him through that, started doing a little bit of training over there, and then eventually, you know, moved fully over to IM Fitness. And I've been there, I think, the last 5 years now, 5 or 6 years.
Well, your relationship obviously has been successful. How do you generate new clients? Just word of mouth?
So the great thing about Jake's gym is we have
St.
tons
Sports
of
Connection
St.
interviews.
St. Pete Sports Connection. Of course, that's number one. It's great. It's great to get out to another audience in St. Pete. That's awesome. And we thank you for that opportunity for sure.
Just kidding. We are reaching more people than I anticipated. I'll tell you that right now.
And we plan to be regulars on your show because we know you love us. So you
well,
know,
I
we
do,
expect
and
the invites
and I don't,
back.
Yeah, and I'm a little nervous in case I do something you know inappropriate.
Oh, we're all about inappropriate over here. There's no check at the gym.
But you might have a challenge on your hands. The old man might actually get involved in your program. And then I'll be whining and bitching.
That's okay.
These guys beat me up this week.
We got two different relationships. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, I know how that'll go.
But we
green mentality.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's on full display over there.
right up my alley.
The great thing about his gym is we have, you know, he's established lots of, you know, business owners, great business clients. And, you know, again, that's why going back to what you were talking about earlier with, you know, traveling and getting programs together, you know, we have great success with that because a lot of our people do travel a lot, whether it's vacation or just out of town for business. But, you know, it's basically a clientele over there where basically, you know, everyone, you know, they're planning on being at that gym for the long haul. It's not like kind of a 3 to 6, you know, we get people who come in 3 to 6 months, you know, hey, show me some programs, show me how I can be doing better for myself. But the majority of our clientele are basically there for the long haul. You know, they know every month they're putting that bill at the gym, and, you know, because it's accountability at the biggest thing. You know, I've had some clients for, I think my longest standing client's 7 or 8 years now. And he's someone who comes 3 to 4 times a week. And it's because, you know, when he comes in there, he doesn't want to think. He wants to be told what to do, what's the right thing to do, make sure I'm not doing it the wrong way. I mean, even if even when you've been doing it for such a long time, you can still do wrong things. Because the great thing, what we're always trying to do is we're trying to expand our knowledge and expand our fitness. So we're always bringing in new and exciting ways to work out and, you know, see how our clients like that. You know, everyone's a little different, obviously. Things work for some, things don't work for others. But we really do a great job of being versatile.
You're listening to St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Yankees and Rays right now across the street at the Trop. I'm talking to Jake Irwin and Travis Winans there with I Am Fitness. Now, you know, you talked about commitment to people. And at my age, I've made a commitment. I want to be on the planet, you know, God willing, to be around for my grandchildren. So, yeah, it isn't I'm going to bust ass until I'm 65 and then shut her down because I accomplished my goal. I mean, I started this mentality again in September. I've done it several times. But now, after having a little AFib issue, I'm committed. I'm going to make certain that the rest of my life, my dad's 82 years old, and he works out like a maniac to this day. And he's sharp. Like he said, whatever you do, don't lose your wills. Mm-hmm. And I witnessed it this week sitting on my ass 25 hours of watching television. I'm like, man, I'm stretching. What is wrong with me? So I guarantee you, anybody in my age group who's serious about it, it's for mortality, longevity, and to have a better quality of life. And there's no excuse. I don't care if you couldn't afford I Am Fitness or any of these. There's no excuse to let your body deteriorate and then wonder why, you know, you just got, you know, a month and a half to live.
I mean, I can 100%.
I'm a little harsh about that topic.
I can 100% say that we have never had someone, I'll go with the age of over 50 years old. We have never had someone come in over age of 50 years old and start programming with us and tell us, you know what, this is actually hurting me. It's not helping me. We have never heard that at all. I've never heard that with any of my clientele. It's always the opposite. Man, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I start sooner? And that's the biggest thing is not falling off is, you know, like, oh, you can't say, oh, I'm 30 years old. I'll just, you know, work my ass off for 10 years and then I'll get back into fitness at 40. I mean, you got to find a way to figure out a way to put it in your lifestyle.
Well, and putting it in your lifestyle, and you guys are well aware of this, is implementing not just the program you lay out, but I just told you about my goofy morning cocktail. I used to have cocktails in the morning, but you have a little apple cider vinegar. Those drinks tasted a hell of a lot better than the one I'm drinking right now in the morning, though. That apple cider vinegar is nasty. But I put a little honey, a little cinnamon, and give this advice to your clients. A little baking soda kills that taste of apple cider vinegar.
Yeah. Did not know that.
Okay, I got to ask you a question since I asked him, because we've talked about your illustrious high school basketball career. Really? Very, very, very impressive.
Thank you.
Were you lifting weights then, or were you just a skinny, tall kid?
No, I was 6'4", about the same height I am now, but I was only 195 pounds when I graduated high school. So I'm 265 right now. I played football at 280. I played college basketball at probably 220-ish. So yeah, I've fluctuated all around.
Where'd you play college basketball at?
I had a scholarship to Florida Southern out of high school.
Yeah.
Was only there for half a year. Realized I just, you know, they were a ranked program, top 25 in Division II, but I just honestly, and I'm not someone who's a partier. I don't go out, but I found myself going home every weekend. It was in Lakeland, Florida. I found myself going home every weekend to do something because there was one, you know, bar to go hang out with and one crappy mall to go to. And that's literally, I'm like, I can't, like, I'm not going to be here for 4 years. And that's coming from someone who doesn't go out that much.
It was that bad, huh?
It was that bad.
Man. D2's no joke.
No.
I was just talking about we're the official partner now of the Tampa Bay Titans, they're a professional team. I tell you what, people minimize professional basketball. As you're well aware, there's only 12 people on a team.
Yeah.
Only five get to play at a time.
Yeah.
So if you want to do the numbers game, that's the most difficult game to reach the pro level.
Oh, 100%.
You've got Australia. You've got the D-League. You've got Europe. You've got all these other avenues, but there's not many.
Yeah.
And there's some very, very good basketball players out there.
Yeah.
Go on to TampaBayTitans.com and look at some of their games. And these guys got game. They got skills.
Oh yeah, I mean,
it's impressive.
At one point, I was working with a lot of the St. Pete Junior College players. When I came down from Florida Southern, went to Ecker, they couldn't offer me a full scholarship, you know, without a full commitment from, you know, knowing who they were bringing in the following year. So I went to St. Pete College because I'm like, well, I'm not paying $30,000 to go here if I don't have a guaranteed scholarship. When I went to St. Pete College, I mean, there were some great D1 kickbacks that were on their current roster that I was trying to make the team
kickbacks.
Of. Well, they weren't doing all the right things, and I mean the junior college system is just full of athletes. It's insane.
Gentlemen, meet Cameron Wembley.
Hey, how's it going?
That's nice Travis Winans. This is live radio. That's how you do this. That's Jake Irwin, and his longest standing client. They have IM Fitness right up the street.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about this. But traffic a little brutal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll finish up here, and then you and I have a nice conversation. You might want to stick around and listen to this guy's bio. Holy moly.
For sure.
And he's an entrepreneur like you. They own this IM Fitness. What are you
awesome.
Up on 22nd?
Literally right up the street. Yep, like Central and 22nd, 23rd.
All right. So we'll continue talking to your little basketball slight to these guys that kicked out of D1 to D2. D2 players are superb, too. Anybody playing ball at that level.
A lot of them go to the European, I mean, and play over there. I mean,
yeah.
There's only so many spots in the NBA, you know?
That's why I respect the game of basketball, because there's so few opportunities.
Yeah.
And to go into another topic, which you can relate to, being a high school athlete, and so can you. You know, these parents that little Johnny's in the sixth grade, and they're like, oh, he's got a great arm, you know. He's a left-hander, too. Or, you know, he's tall, he's going to play basketball. And they have these expectations set so high. I used to say on my show up in Iowa, I'd say, I'll tell you what the chances are, as we know, are less than 1%. I'd use the pyramid. At the base is youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
And as you migrate up, the athletes are better. If your son or daughter is participating at the high school level, they're a tremendous athlete.
Yeah.
They're a good athlete. Just do the numbers.
Yeah.
They make it to college. I don't care if it's NAIA, D2, community colleges. Those are very good athletes. Put things into perspective. And that's how it is with the game of basketball. The numbers, that pyramid's even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this Tampa Bay Titans that we're getting on board with, those fellas have game. They can play some ball. All right. Let's do a couple of promos here. How do people get a hold of you? O-N again.
See, look at that. See, always taking care of me. That's why I got him there.
I'd like to have somebody take care of me that big.
He's my bodyguard, too.
So 7 years.
7 years. We're on Central and 22nd, St. Petersburg. www.imfitnessstpete.com. Check it out. A lot of static on your equipment. What's going on here?
I know. I just bought it.
Were you prepared? I mean, come
on. It's only for when you guys come. Yeah. You put the hex on me. It's going to be great when I'm
Yeah, but we do a lot of walk-ins, so first class is free, then we do a personal training assessment. So from there, you just come, walk in, and then you just hit the ground running.
All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you guys coming down, and I will get a hold of you this week.
Absolutely.
I'm coming in, and you can put the old man plan together.
You said it on the air, so now we're going to hold you to it.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, well, don't think about it. Just do it.
I'm committing to it.
There you go.
Unfortunately, I record this too. So
yeah, exactly.
And your mom's listening, and she will remind me.
Oh, she will for sure.
All right, guys. I appreciate you coming down, and now I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thanks again. We appreciate it.
All right. Nice to meet you, young lady. Next time, bring me a green tea. These guys are cutting a business deal right in front of me. I'll do a little promo right now. for my next guest. He was 2006 first round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns. He played at FSU. Played with the Raiders, Titans. He retired in 2015. Just an incredible resume. He actually won the Rachel Ray cookoff competition before the 2013 Super Bowl. He's been on American Ninja, Champs versus Pros, and he. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to interrupt the interview and bring him on right now.
I'll send like my digital card because I work with the NFL alumni.
So I'm blessed to have. See, there was some value in coming on my show. Got to meet Cameron. That's a lot more important than meeting me. Well, I just did your introduction while you were closing the deal. But thank you very much for your patience last week and for coming to Cross this week.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a beautiful day out here at Ferg's, and I see the Rays got a win yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy down here, Cameron.
Oh, man. So
anytime the Yankees are in town.
I see that traffic. It's still probably people from New York all the way down here enjoying this weather and watching some good baseball.
Well, a lot of the people that have migrated down here, when the Yankees are playing or the Red Sox, this place is crazy.
I bet, yeah, definitely. I had a chance to go to a Rays game, and I know, you know, a lot of the conversation has been on what they're going to do with the stadium here, the place where they play here. So we'll see what happens.
Well, that's as a businessman, that's 84 acres of opportunity that some other business people are looking at. And they could care less about baseball. So I think it's going to be a debate. It's until 2027 to make the decision. Mm-hmm. But if they can meld the park into a business and residential community, I think that's great for the vibrancy of St. Pete. And you live in Tampa, right?
I do.
How do you like Tampa?
Tampa's nice. They have a lot of projects going on, obviously, with the Cascade Fund, Water Street, and channel side. It's just growing like wildfire, obviously with sports being one of the catalysts. And it's
what a year, huh?
Oh, man, we've got so much young talent in that area. Obviously, it's attracting a talent in sports, but also in the tech space and, you know, the universities over there, USF. So I think Tampa is in a good position moving forward over the next decade in regards to how it's going to develop out.
Well, I see you have your FSU shirt on. Go Noles.
Yeah, man, I got to represent. We got a couple of guys that are looking forward to, you know, getting drafted here soon. We got Marvin Wilson, Joshua Kando, Asante Samuel Jr. Yeah, man, so it's just been exciting seeing what Coach Norvell is going to bring to the team this year after the transition from Coach Willie Taggart.
Let's talk about the draft. 2006, you, of course, the Cleveland Browns. What was going through your mind at this time of year back 15 years ago?
Well, you know, just to, like you said earlier in the show, not that many athletes make it to the college level. So being able to play at Florida State was a dream come true. And then to have an opportunity to go to the NFL prior to getting drafted, I had a
first round draft pick, by the way, this gentleman.
Yeah, it was a pre-draft grade. You know, they do Mel Kiper and you know, pre-draft, mock draft stuff. And there was the possibility that was presented and going in the third round. And, you know, as I did the Senior Bowl, did the combine, I was really able to improve my draft stock.
That 4.6 didn't hurt.
Oh, man. these guys now are running some crazy times. But, yeah, 4.6, I felt like, you know, that was good for me at that time. And
it was great for you.
You know, I was in there with Vernon Davis, right? So he's a freak, and a lot of other guys who are really good athletes. But that was a great draft class, Reggie Bush. So for me and my family, I mean, it was really an exciting time. It was really something that really changed my life and a lot of my friends and family's lives forever.
Well, you're from Wichita, correct?
I am, correct.
And the only bone I have to pick, I shouldn't say this, being down to Florida now, I'm a diehard Catholic and Notre Dame fan. And Notre Dame offered you a scholarship as well, if I did my homework correctly.
They did, actually. Yeah, I enjoyed going up there and seeing the campus. There's so much history there at Notre Dame. And, you know, recently we've got the short end of the stick in the football category playing them. But I believe they're on our schedule this year. But, you know, I played with Brady Quinn with the Cleveland Browns, so there's still a really good connection with some Irishmen. I enjoyed taking that visit and learning a lot about that campus and just their football history.
Isn't that campus for – I don't care if you can't stand the Fighting Irish. That's one of those sports meccas that I tell people on your bucket list to go and watch a game there. If you're baseball, go to Wrigley Field, go to Yankee Stadium, yada, yada, yada. But that's one of the stops, I think, if you're a college football fan.
Well, definitely. I mean, a lot of us grew up watching Rudy, and then you go there and you get to actually play. You know, I played as a Seminole on the field there, and you come out the stadium and see Touchdown Jesus. And when I took my trip up there, it was my first time actually seeing chipmunks in real life on the campus. Like, the campus is a beautiful campus.
It is, like you said, steep, rich in tradition. So, Wichita, multi-sport athlete, obviously.
Yes.
And little hoops.
Yeah, I was a multi-sport athlete. I played some basketball, but, you know, guys my height, they're actually like, you know, guards in the NBA.
It's unbelievable.
So I was like the five man, five and the four on my team. But we had some incredible shooters at Northwest High School, and, you know, it was just something for me to do to stay in shape and build relationships with guys who were playing, you know, multiple sports. I also did track as well, made it to the state track meet, and I just enjoyed my whole, you know, high school experience, but basketball was one of the sports, yes.
And that's one of the things that I think you agree with me too, Travis. I think too many parents are pigeonholing kids when they're young. Let them play all sports. You know, dad says he's left-handed. He's 6 foot, you know, at 10 years old. He's going to be in the Major League Baseball. Let the kids play all these sports, because typically you look at the rosters of these great college teams and NFL, and they were all-around athletes.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm a big proponent of track.
Definitely. You got to have that form to give yourself a chance. Speed kills, obviously. And, you know, for me right now, we do work with a company called Elite Combine, where we're trying to help educate parents and coaches, recruiters, all of those people on just the different opportunities that are around, and then how to, you know, find a college that works for you if that's for you. But even if you don't go to college, sports provides so many opportunities around the game to be able to have an occupation and, you know, do what you love and still be involved in the game without necessarily being a player. But, you know, playing multiple sports definitely will, especially now with the NCAA and that name, image, and likeness thing, being at the forefront, it gives you an opportunity to connect with, you know, multiple brands and also cross-pollinate with your brand in all of those different spaces. So,
well, you probably know Wayne Hogan. Have you had an opportunity to meet Wayne Hogan yet?
I have not yet.
Well, Barry, I'll have to introduce you, because I had him on, and he was at Florida State for quite some time, assistant AD at Georgia Tech, and that name, image, and likeness right now is big, big, big focal point in sports.
Okay, I definitely love to learn from him as much as I can. I read up on, you know, the different things that the NCAA has been putting out. So it's one of those things right now with the non-fungible token. I'm about to, you know, actually open up my own website and speak more about that. But Tom Brady just spoke about it, and that's just one of the ways that players are now converting their value to be able to benefit off of the work that they've done on the field.
Well, go ahead and elaborate on your project and your dream there.
Okay, so I came to Florida, and, you know, obviously a lot of athletes come out of here, but post-career I wanted to focus on being an entrepreneur, so I invested in some startups, and I invested in a female-owned fitness facility out in Hollywood, California, after meeting Louise Hazel on a show called The Challenge, an MTV show. So that's been pretty cool. And then
he was on Gladiator too, fellas. This guy's been around.
Yeah, man. I had the opportunity to invest in a young lady out of Miami who was doing art, and she came up here and came to an accelerator, Factory 114, and we put on an art show, and she was able to sell some of her art and just expose the area to more artwork. And you know, from that, those early investments into startups or into people's businesses, I mean, more small businesses have just bloomed from there. So as an athlete, just looking more into tech, you know, the NFL has a lot of tech relationships, Facebook, Twitter, all of these different things. We saw that things were starting to convert to digital. So we're looking at just different, you know, currencies and different ways to be able to capitalize off of the influence.
Like Bitcoin and that concept?
Definitely. So we now have, you know, developed digital wallets, and, you know, it's just a new way of, you know, learning how to, you know, create value for yourself and add value to your community. So I'm not the expert on that. I have a really good team around me of smart people.
That's the key to success. Having smart people around you will make you successful.
Yeah, definitely. So I just know now we see a good combination. Whenever we did camps, we would try to combine, you know, like a different skill. So it would be a football camp, but we could teach you about art, right? So it would be a football camp, but we could teach you about finance as well. So we just try to pair the camps up with things that kids are going to find useful. So we know coding is going to be big going forward. And all of these things involved in tech with gaming. So we're doing things with esports.
Really?
As well, definitely.
Very interesting. And where are these camps being held?
So my first camps, which is called the Dreams Camp in Wichita, Kansas.
Back home.
We're doing those
good idea.
Annually. Obviously, COVID kind of changed the plans this past year. But now we're opening up and we're starting to do combines to be able to help kids get a base of where they're at. And then we connect them with fitness professionals in their area to work on whatever it is that they need to strengthen. So we're talking about.
I know a couple in the area.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you their names later.
Right here, right? So we're trying to do, you know, acupuncture, teaching people about chiropractic work, all of the massage, all of these benefits to help you. Obviously increase your performance. And then if you're here in the area, we got Tom Brady, so you know about TB12, right?
Yeah.
You got F45s popping up everywhere, right? So I think a lot of companies are starting to understand that, you know, if you feel good, you're going to produce more, right? So it's about that long-term health and wellness.
Well, I tell you what, we're having a great conversation with Cameron. So you actually were on the Gladiator too?
Oh, American Ninja Warrior.
Okay,
so
American.
It's similar, yeah.
That's so, me.
Yeah, no, I had a fun time on that. Actually, I was in there during the pandemic, and, you know, we did it without a crowd inside of a convention center and utilizing some of the same things that you see in sports bubbles that were occurring during the pandemic. So you have, you know, your virtual fans watching from a screen. They're pumping in crowd noise, and then obviously in between, everybody wearing our masks, taking our precautions, you know, hand sanitizer, temperature checks, all of those things. But to be able to do that and bring people entertainment, obviously sports is such a big, you know, factor when it comes to our economic growth here. As you can see with, you know, Tampa Bay, their success this year, the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, and then the Rays doing what they did during the season as well. It had an impact here, and for me, I think sports is one of those things that brings people together from different areas, different cultures, different ages, and, you know, you're coming together, you're gelling together with the goal to try to win, and it's about something bigger than just yourself.
Incredible concept. Hey, one other thing, this guy's diverse. Mitchell Ray Cookoff competition, 2013 Super Bowl, you won?
Yeah, you actually, my wife at the time, you know, she suggested a recipe, and, you know, we were doing it as if, hey, this is what we would prepare for a tailgate. So I had the opportunity to go on Rachel Ray.
When have you ever tailgated? You were always playing.
Exactly. But I wanted to go. Really, exactly. I enjoyed pulling up on the buses and seeing everybody having a good time, and they were great fans. They supported us. But, you know, I watched Rachel Ray when I was in college, so I was a big fan. You know, she's a beautiful woman. You know, she does, you know, just awesome things. Even in the pet community, she has a dog food. I have a dog registry.
Hey, so, we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to go on there. I believe it was Martellius Bennett and another Indianapolis Colts, Dwight Freeney.
Dwight Freeney, right? Yep, so, I was going to tell you. I did the research. But you beat him, so you don't even remember the name. It doesn't matter when you're the winner.
Yeah,
who
man.
Got second? I have no idea. I won.
they cook some great dishes, man. So Tony Siragusa, I believe, was the guest.
He knows a little bit about food.
Oh, yeah, man. So I had a great time going up to New York. It's always awesome going to, in the studio, meeting Rachel Ray in person. It was really just one of those big dreams, you know, that, and plus right now we're talking about, you know, equality, and as a woman, I think she's done some phenomenal things.
Some,
you
super
know?
Things, yeah.
A lot of people look up to her.
Well, let's go back to Florida State, because I had a conversation with Wayne Hogan I'm introduced you to, and we were talking about the great Bobby Bowden and the impact that he had on Florida State's program. And when you got, he said arguably the greatest game ever was Florida State and Notre Dame. Was that the year you played?
Well, I played up there. I believe that was, it was probably my junior year, I believe. It was a while back. And when we got up there, the field was actually kind of slick. So the first half, you know, we were sliding around. And up north, they're about bulk. And, you know, down here, we're about speed. So our speed was kind of negated. And
I hate to tell you, I know a lot of teams up north. That might have been a little intention when they saw the 40s and the speed that the Seminoles had. Might have been a little groundskeeper the night before, laying a little water, cranking it down to about 30 degrees, 28 degrees.
You know what? I was just glad it wasn't freezing. But, you know, somebody had mentioned that. I'm not making any accusations.
We
won the game. So I was happy about that. But, oh, yeah, congratulations to Coach Bowden, too, being offered the Medal of Freedom,
man.
Right? So he's impacted so many lives. And, you know, kids come from, in a lot of cases, when they're playing sports, they're coming from places where there may not necessarily be as many opportunities. So sports is a way out for them, and it's a platform for them to be able to make a change in their communities. And Coach Bowden has definitely been an integral part of that for so many players and so many families throughout the years. So, I mean, that's a guy who really is a selfless guy, right?
Absolutely.
You know, great Christian.
And anyone that ever doubts his sincerity, shame on them, right?
Yeah, no, Coach Bowden, I mean, he's proven it for so many years. He's really about his players and helping people, you know, improve their lives.
Let's talk a little NFL, and then I'm going to share again how diverse you are. We're going to talk Bulldogs,
okay.
Something I can talk a little bit about. So you get drafted by the Cleveland Browns. First-round draft pick. Talk about your career there, and then you played with the Raiders, then the Titans.
Yeah, well, I had a great time, you know, in the NFL. I was able to really enjoy all 9 years, and playing in multiple cities gave me different perspectives of how different ball clubs work. You know, my first 4 years were in Cleveland. I made some great friends, great relationships up there. Got to meet a lot of
people.
Who
was the head coach then?
We had Romeo Crennel initially.
Great coach.
And then
he's been in the league a long time.
Yeah. Mangini was the second coach, and then I was traded from the Browns out to the Raiders for 2 years, and Coach Tom Cable was out there, and then Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson, and then he went to Cleveland.
He did. He went to Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I spent my last 3 years in Tennessee. So,
how'd you like Tennessee? I went to college up the road in Bowling Green, Western Kentucky. I was in Nashville a lot. In fact, I was there twice last year. Great town.
Oh, I love it, man. Nashville was awesome. You know, I learned a lot about country music in Nashville. So,
if you don't like country, that ain't the town to be in, I'll tell you that. I'm not a super country guy. I'm R&B and jazz. Saw Bernie Williams the other day. You probably don't even know who he was. He used to play for the Yankees. Jazz guitarist. He was down at Kentucky in my neighborhood Monday night playing live. This guy's a five-time All-Star with the Yankees, and he is a phenomenal jazz guitarist. He's won Grammys, Latin Grammys, free, live,
nice.
300 yards from my house.
Nice.
So anyway, I divert. Sorry.
No, definitely.
My ADD kicked in.
Some jazz, man. I'm on Sirius Satellite Radio listening to jazz, you know, washing dishes during the week or something at the house. But
what about your daughters?
Man,
I didn't wash the dishes.
You know what?
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
My daughters are great, man. It's really awesome to see, like, women and all the things that they're doing just in the world, right? So there are women who are now in executive positions, leadership positions, obviously in political positions that are really making a change. I think it's really showing young girls all across the world that, you know, they can be really anything if they put their mind to it. There's obviously still a lot of work to do, but, you know, I'm enjoying learning, having three daughters. I'm definitely seeing things that I wasn't able to necessarily see before, And it is a beautiful process.
So is it Monica, Malaya?
Yeah, so we have my oldest is Megan.
Okay.
She just turned 13. We've got Malia.
Malia, I'm sorry.
And then Micah. So it's three girls, man.
Just like his world, they're the bosses, right?
They are, man. They had me from day one, man. So it's one of those things where, you know, they do make you soft. And
oh.
To me, that vulnerability has become a strength, though, you know. So I'm really learning. Like, I'm following, you know, women's soccer a lot. I'm looking at volleyball right now. And there's really such a huge opportunity for different networks now to be able to give women exposure. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about, you know, just learning about women who own professional teams. Like with the Buffalo Bills, they have a woman who's the owner there. Obviously, Tennessee Titans, Miami Dolphins. So I think it's really cool to just see just all the stuff that women are doing. Even from Florida State, we've got Sarah Blakely.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Well, I've got two sons and a daughter, and she's the baby. And we, you know, we're jocks, you know. And then she comes into my world, and she's in medicine in Chicago now. And I had to go from every sporting event there was to recitals, leads and plays.
I've done those.
I'd be in the front row, and these people say, "Aren't you the Sports Connection guy? Get the hell out of here. I'm watching my daughter." I mean,
yeah.
I just became over the top. And if she tells me to jump off, you know, the Badgero building in Sioux City, which is 25 stories, I'm going. There must be a reason for it.
Oh, yeah.
She calls the shots by far in our family.
Oh, yeah, you got to support, man. I've been to the soccer games, basketball games, ballet. So I'm enjoying it all.
Well, I'm sure you're a great father. Let's talk about this Bulldog Registry.
Yeah, so it's a Bull Breed.
We got a dog park right there, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. I came by here and took a look at that. And, you know, we're always trying to encourage, you know, people to get out and be active with their pets. We've done pet shows in the past prior to the pandemic.
You sleep at all?
Man, I'm actually
I'm getting
to the point now where we've got, you know, a lot of great people who are, you know, doing a lot of work. They're putting out a lot of content. So, you know, I get to evaluate a little bit more. I'm you know, just more on the sit back and delegate the work outside as opposed to being out there on the front line. But, you know, I love being hands-on and getting involved with the community. So the canine community, I mean,
it's huge down here.
Oh man, right? Tampa's an awesome place to be a pet owner. They have dog parks everywhere here. But Bull Breed Coalition, with that registry, what we do is we offer people a lineage, a pedigree to be able to show
ancestry?
Them. It's ancestry,
for
right?
Dogs?
For dogs,
come
right?
on, man.
But it's awesome.
I'm old, but really, seriously.
Yeah, we do DNA profiles, all of that stuff. So we're very into, you know, looking at just genetic deficiencies that are within certain bloodlines or within certain breeds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we work with a company called Animal Genetics in Tallahassee.
Oh, my God.
You can do anything from
nothing shocks this old man anymore.
Man, it's advanced. You can figure out coat color for, you know, dogs before you even do breedings, like all of these things. So,
well, I'm from Iowa, and in Des Moines, Iowa, is a small university called Drake University.
Okay.
And they're the Bulldogs.
Drake, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they also have a great track meet every year. It's worldwide, the Drake Relays.
Okay.
And so they have the beautiful Bulldog Contest.
Yes.
And I was one of the judges. I don't know what I was looking for. But these people raised it. They raised these Bulldogs so they can compete. And then that particular Bulldog, the winner, and that happens at the end of this month, by the way, that is the face of the Drake Bulldog program for a year.
Nice.
And,
okay.
they take it, you know, places. And, you know, they're not the beautiful Bulldog is stretching a little bit, but it's kind of cool that they have something like that. So how are you a Bulldog? Did you have Bulldogs growing up or you're a kid?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had Pit Bulls initially, then American Bullies. And, you know, I have relationships with Bulldog breeders, obviously, that register with us. And, you know, I even with the mascots with teams like you were saying, the Georgia Bulldogs.
That Gonzaga Bulldogs who got the hell beat out of them.
Yeah, man. It's very awesome to see that, you know, a lot of universities and schools use Bulldogs as mascots, but to learn about just all these different breeds within the registry to me is quite awesome.
Let me ask you this about Bulldogs. You hear this, hey, he's got that Bulldog mentality. Are they just hard-headed, or is that just something that somebody created?
Well, I just
they don't like to move. They don't like to be told what to do. I mean, that's me.
No, I think with the American Bulldog, you're like looking at standards, and it's like a temperament, right? So these dogs are supposed to be an example of strength, right? Or they do a lot of work, hard work. So just the history of different breeds, they just were required to do different things. So now, I mean, a lot of them are more so for confirmation. So they aren't necessarily working the way that they did originally. But once you learn the backgrounds of these different breeds, you'll understand like why certain personality traits are attributed to certain breeds.
Oh, my word. Ancestry for Bulldogs.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
By the way, the Rays just went on top of the Yankees. Nothing across the street here. And so that's what the clapping behind us was.
Right.
Where are they from? England originally, Bulldogs?
Well, they have the English Bulldog.
Yeah.
They have American Bulldog. So different versions come from different places. And then, obviously, new breeds are created. The registry that I'm a part of, the original founder, Amy Krogman, created a breed called the Shorty Bull. So we recently just wrote a book about her experience of creating that.
Book writing now, too.
Yeah, man. I was a part of a recent book launch called The Top 25 Changemakers. So it talked about what Tampa entrepreneurs did to thrive through challenging times. So there's some awesome people in there with great stories. I would definitely encourage people to check it out. And now we're about to do one in Atlanta. I'm working on my own business book. I'm on like my seventh chapter now. So yeah, there's a lot of irons in the fire. So
I thought you're getting active for an old man. You're putting me to shame. I gotta raise my game. They're gonna get me in shape, and then you're gonna be my role model. I got an injection of youth now to get the old spirit fired up again.
Hey, it's about relationships, man. We're creating sustainability. So, like I said, that diversity and having people who are, you know, skilled at things that you may not necessarily be good at.
Everything in my case.
Them, right? So it's just ongoing education. So, you know, I enjoy just the diversity of the Tampa area and all the different things that people have here to offer to the community.
That is Cameron Wembley. And I've had some impressive guests, but none that had the depth of your resume and diversity. And you just keep looking for new challenges on a daily basis.
Well, I think that's what sports has done for me, right? So everybody, like I said, coming from different places, you get to meet people who've taken different routes to get to where they're at, and you can learn from that. So me being able to play all the way at the NFL league, it opens up a lot of doors. Obviously, the skills that we learn in sports are transferable, so a lot of companies are trying to recruit me because they know about that hard work, that leadership, the teamwork, that dedication. So a lot of, you know, NFL players now having their own platforms, their social media platforms, they're able to control their narratives and build their brands outside of being a player. So,
okay, we got a little time. Let's talk about that topic.
Okay.
What's your position with collegiate athletes and essentially pay for play or to be recognized for their commitment, their sacrifice? I'm between it's a rock and a hard place on that conversation because they're getting a college scholarship, but this has become such a monetized system. What's your position on that?
Well, I think there's a lot of legislation out there and different ways to look at it. Obviously, with the NCAA, they're wanting to protect the amateur status of the college athlete. But at the same time, I think we're all, you know, cognizant of how much money is being made off of the student athlete. So another thing I think is the aspect of the sponsorship. If there is a player there, for example, at Florida State, we had a woman on the soccer team. She had 1 million Instagram followers, right? And, you know, to be able to monetize that as an athlete can –
Didn't they just take that in front of the Supreme Court recently?
Yeah, so they're
like
currently talking about it,
yeah.
Right? So these are, you know, the different things that are coming up, like the amateur status, what does that mean? But to me, I think that – with their platforms, if a person's on a campus, Stanford or whatnot, and they can make money from a venture capitalist or angel investor for their ideas, you know, I think the athletes should be able to monetize their brands. But at the same time, I can understand the university's position of potentially losing major sponsors to one player on the team, and maybe that affects their money. So I think it's something that, you know, it'll likely continue to evolve. Rules change every year. But I definitely think that the players add a tremendous amount of value to their campuses, to their to the universities that they're playing with. And now I think former players now can go back and partner with these universities and maybe collect on some of that value.
Because it's good for the institution to have them be a spokesperson of the
definitely.
Great education and participation that they had, right?
Definitely. So we see
that's
even,
a great idea there.
You know, like with Ed Reed is working with the University of Miami, a Hall of Fame player, and even Vince Young, he had a great college
at
career,
Texas.
Is working with Texas. So, and then Florida State has reached out about some opportunity to help them. So with us, our boosters are doing a phenomenal job, and I love what the new president for the boosters is doing. We're obviously looking at having some stadium changes, and I think it's just evolving with the game, right? They want to have a better feeling when you go into the game day experience, right? So they're trying to make it very special because you're competing obviously against all of these different, you know, outlets now to be able to see sports without necessarily being in the stadium. So
well, or being in front of a television. I mean, look at all the mobile platforms, and I'm even trying to embrace them. I'm confused. Look at this. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, I fumble, bumble, and stumble as it is, and I got to look at these gadgets. I remember when life was simple.
Yeah, yeah. So with me, even when you mentioned that, we're exploring, like, AR opportunities, virtual reality opportunities. So I'm a part of a group called Global Sports Initiative.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's here. And
you got, like, a 10-page resume?
Man, I'm trying to stay busy, man. It's just
trying?
Here's the thing. When you're done playing, you know, you have to create a way for you to continue to bring in revenue. And a lot of players, initially I wanted to look at, well, why is it that a lot of players go broke or bankrupt after a certain amount of time outside of the league when they've made, you know, so
millions,
much money?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're taking a look at these different sectors now. In the tech sector, there's, you know, there's that cry for more diversity at the higher levels, at the executive positions. So, you know, I'm just, you know, studying everything from the entry level all the way to the top of the house. And, you know, after taking a visit to Facebook's campus and, you know, learning more about their 10-year plan and seeing
but
how
that
much
was
more,
impressive.
Oh, definitely. They got drones flying everywhere. And it's
really?
Like Disneyland in there. They got their own dentist in there. You've got arcade games in there. But just learning about how much more, like, video is coming to our life, even with Little League kids, right, playing sports, we weren't really aware of anybody outside of our local vicinity. Now you got kids watching kids in other states, other countries.
Taiwan. Like, yeah.
So the recruiting process has really changed. A lot of it has become virtual now, especially with the pandemic. People weren't able to go out and really connect with the athletes. So we're doing Zoom. We're doing all these virtual things. So with analytics, data analytics are really playing a major part in how things are done. So I just try to make sure that I'm up on all of those different changes within sports and in business.
Wow, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get you on again because I want you to explore some of these things as they evolve.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about them. And I appreciate all you youngsters coming and hanging out with the old man today.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I hopefully we can put something together here.
Yeah,
as you said, and I'll promote anything you've got going on my social media or on this show. So
okay, yeah,
we'll wind things down and we'll visit. Right, we'll visit a little bit further. So for Travis Winans, Jake Irwin, Cameron Wembley, Mark Ferguson, Joe Boudreau on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard, thanking you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection, and wish you and your families a great weekend. May God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship week. Welcome back to St. Pete Sports Connection. I figured out the issue, and we'll get this addressed. There's such a big bash and party inside Ferg's right now, and it'll slow down because it's about 20 minutes until the first pitch over at Tropicana Field as they take on the Yankees. But there, that loud music and the robust crowd is kicking me off of the Wi-Fi. So we'll get these issues addressed in the next before the next early game. Yeah, or maybe we'll have to start the golf show over at the Par Bar prior to this, but we'll make certain that this doesn't happen, and I appreciate anyone that's listening. And unfortunately, it kicks to our automated music anytime the Wi-Fi goes in and out. So that's what's happening on your end, and I apologize. I'm recording all this, though. The good thing is I'll be able to replay it in our archives and in its entirety as I fumble, stumble, and bumble. And I'm waiting for my guests to show up. These two youngsters, and as I mentioned, these guys are holy moly. They're fit, ex-Marine. They're on their way. And unfortunately, might be coming on at the same time as my good friend and new friend, Barry Smith, who set up all these interviews. We're very fortunate that the people couldn't get here last week, and we had a few issues. But I'm going to go over the leaderboard one more time as I stumble, fumble, and bumble looking for a conversation for you as we wait for our guest. And I'll tell you what, this Augusta, this Masters, everybody was concerned about it because Tiger Woods wasn't going to be there. And it doesn't have the luster. In fact, if you aren't a huge sports fan and you weren't aware, the whole world knows this. Tiger Woods, actually, there was no drugs or alcohol. And as I mentioned, the reality of their world is they're under the microscope. And Tiger, unfortunately, due to a lot of the things that he self-imposed, self-imploded, but he made a comeback. In fact, just a couple years ago, when he won his 16th, and I tell you what, that was one of the greatest sports moments, I think, regardless of what you think of Tiger Woods, just the accomplishment. But he was going 84 miles an hour in a 45, and that will doom you anytime. And unfortunately, he's sitting at home recovering. I saw a great article, though, about his ex, Elin. She's allowing Charlie and Sam to go over there at any time, and that's got to be consoling, you know, how much he loves his children. And still one of the greatest moments in Masters history is when he won and then his two kids are hugging him, and that was phenomenal when you take a look at that, because a trip back in time, his father Earl was there when he won his first one, when he won going away, and that was just a special moment. And we all know how much he loved his pops, as he called him. And the beauty of it is that he's able to share those same memories with Charlie and Sam. And I don't know if you got to watch from Orlando, the father and son, grandfather and son, the event they have each and every year over there. And that little Charlie is one heck of a golfer. And it was very, very impressive when Charlie got to the opportunity to play in front of ESPN, NBC. He wasn't rattled. He looked so much like his father. It was absolutely amazing. And as I said, that was a phenomenal time. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a break. You'll get some music. I'm going to restart the show and disconnect, restart, and then hopefully I don't lose you. But if I do, as I mentioned, we will not have these technical difficulties in the future. I'll be right back on the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com.